Well, welcome back to Wednesday Night Services. You know, I want to commend everyone on being here because, you know, they've closed the schools tomorrow for weather. And unfortunately, most everyone thought that weather is upon us now, but it really doesn't arrive till tomorrow. So we sent a blast out, but some people, you know, maybe didn't read the blast or whatever. And so it's remarkable that we have this many people on a day that they're going to close the schools. So give yourselves a hand for being here tonight. But I have a philosophy about that, and that is whoever is supposed to be here should be here. And if you're here, you're here for a reason. And we're going to do something very special tonight to kick this off. And we're probably going to the first Wednesday of every month, we're going to go to this format. And simply, Proverbs 4:27 says it as clearly as possible. It says to keep your heart with all diligence. How many people realize your heart is the key? Because it says out of it are the issues of life. And so what we want to do is a ministry and a ministry team is we're going to take once a month and we're going to have a heart-to-heart. We're going to share the heart of ministry and share your heart, and we're going to bring that together. So if you will, panel, why don't you go ahead and take your place? And while you're doing that, what I want to do is you guys just stay standing for just a moment. While they're taking their place, I always want to give us the opportunity to be able to be generous toward our Lord. So we're going to receive an offering tonight. And in receiving the offering, remember, you bring the tithe, but then you give an offering. So this is your chance, if you haven't given your tithe, to bring your tithe. But then above and beyond that, it says you have to purpose in your own heart what you want to give. So ushers are standing in the aisle if you need an envelope for your giving. You can give in all the ways that are listed on the screen, just like we do every Sunday morning. There. So if everyone's had time to prepare their offering, let's hold those up before the Lord. I'm going to pray a blessing over Father. I thank you for the privilege to be able to have the opportunity to give. Because, Lord, it's our chance to sow to increase in our life. Lord, you make it very clear if we sow abundantly, we're going to reap abundantly. So I thank you for all the abundant blessings that are about to return from the generosity of the hearts of the people. So we thank you, we bless you, we honor you today. Amen, amen, amen. You may now bring forward your offerings if you can at this time. All right, everybody, so we've been talking a lot about the heart of Jesus, which sees fit to hold up the word and say that all the law and the prophets hang on two commandments. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, right? But the second is like it. Now, it's been my experience that I see when people have a pure love for God, then they have a pure love for people. If something's not right between them and the Father, something's not right between them and the people. And so really, we're all trying to work this out, because until we really understand the true love of God, and how God loves us. I think that's sometimes the hardest thing we deal with, is really getting our head wrapped around how much God loves us, how much grace he extends us, how he really sees us. He's not a God up there with a stick and you get out of the circle and he smashes you on the head. That's not how God works. God's a loving God, but he is a God that wants to be honored, and he is a God of order, and he wants us to operate in excellence and in that order. And he has a code of conduct. We've been teaching this on the Sundays. I've been showing you that there are expectations that he has in order to fulfill the reciprocal blessings that he has for. How many people want the reciprocal blessings of God? I want everything that God has for me, don't you? Is there anyone here that doesn't? Well, then how are we going to do it? We're going to have to do it the way he says to do it. So I told you, I'm struggling with some of this stuff itself. It's hard to love certain people. It's hard to be kind when someone's being nasty to you. It's hard to give to people when you feel that they don't deserve. I mean, we can do this all day. It's hard to forgive people. These are things that are hard, but we still have to do it, don't we? So what I want to do is, you know, I was trying to be gut level honest with you guys on the Sunday, so it's time. Maybe we could, you know, are you struggling or is it just me? So if we're having some struggle, you know, the Bible says there's safety in the multitude of counsel. Here's the ministry team at Glory to Him. Put your hands together for the ministry team. They do a great job. You have no idea the years of ministry and preparation and what they have been through and what we have been through together. And we have seen some stuff. And although we may not have all the answers to everything, we got a lot of them. And so if you're having some struggles, some questions, or some things you want to ask about this, if we have to do unto others in order to get God's blessings upon our life as we would have them do to us, then we're going to need some help. So you may have some situations or maybe some things we need to discuss, but whatever it is that you're dealing with, we want you to know this is a safe, free environment. And we're going to pass the mic around, and if you put your hand up, we're going to let you ask this panel, and we're going to let you ask them any question you want. We want you to know we're a transparent church. We're here for you. And so many times we come in and out of church service, we don't get to ask anything. It's one way. We don't get to reciprocate. So if this is all about the reciprocal blessings of God, we're going to let you ask some questions. And we're going to reciprocate with you. So if there's any kind of question you have or something you're unclear of, maybe it's something about the Bible you don't understand or you'd like to have, maybe like us to expound on it, or maybe you were taught this, is this really correct, Bishop? You know, then I'm going to let this panel, we're going to use the wisdom of this church to be able to assist you to be able to get the reciprocal blessings of God working in your life. How many people are excited about that? Okay. So let's just start off. Who would have something? And this isn't, if you're talking to someone, we're not thinking, oh, wow, you don't know anything about the Bible. No, I know a lot about the Bible, but I still have to answer some questions. I still have some questions to ask, and I'm telling you about them every Sunday that I'm still getting questions. I've been in this thing a long time, and I'm still, sometimes I think I have more questions than I got answers. And so if you have some questions or you have something, who wants to start it off tonight? Come on, don't be bashful. Okay, let's go right over there. Go ahead and stand up and give us your name.
I am Indigo.
What did you say your name?
Indigo.
Indigo. Oh, we love that.
So my question would be, how do I, like, sometimes I get an overwhelming feeling of depression come down on me, mm-hmm. and I have no idea how to fix what the issue is.
Okay.
And I pray about it, but maybe I'm not saying the right words.
Okay, that's a great. She's having depression that will just come on her. Now, I'm going to ask this just for a little clarification for them. Is it certain thing that triggers it, or it can just be anything? You can be going through your day and just feeling it, because that's important.
A lot of the time I can just be going through regular day, and it just be like, weight'll come on my shoulder, and then boom.
Just feel the weight.
The waterworks and stuff.
Okay, who wants to grab that one first? Now, I could answer every one of your questions, but that's not what I'm doing tonight. This is for y'all. Who wants to start it off?
Okay. The book of Psalms in the 16th chapter says, God will show you the path of life, and in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And so I'm going to tell you how I do it. I'll simply push away from the table. I won't eat anything. And every time I think about eating, I'll remember why I'm not eating. And it is to get in the presence of God. And I'll begin praying. And I'm going to tell you another practical thing. We're talking about practicality now. There's an app I have on my phone called Bible Gateway. I'll take that and I'll put an ear pod in my ear. And I'll go to the promises of God in the scripture. And I'll play it. See, because faith comes by hearing. And we're talking about lack of faith. And I'll just let it play and wash over my body consistently until I'm encouraged. That's how I do it.
To tag team what Sam says, I also add another scripture, Philippians 2 and 5. And I keep that, like he said, I do the same thing Sam said, and I roll it over my mind. I have the mind of Christ. Every single day, I have the mind of Christ. And I start loosing from my soul every single morning things I have heard or listened to, seen on television, people say to me that attach to my soul. And every single day, I say, I loose every thought, every wrong thought from my soul, and I bring my mind into the captivity of Christ's word. That's what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. So as you go, like he said, only the worship and the word go hand in hand.
Pretty much, kind of, sort of going in the path where Dorothy went. We are a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And your soul is comprised of your emotions, okay? Your decision-making. And so a lot of times you said to the pastor that you don't think that it has to do with anything, but it does. It has to do with something that you've experienced in the past. A lot of times it is our past, and there it could be a song, it could be someone you talk to that said something. They're called triggers. He mentioned the word trigger to you, but a lot of times we are unaware of the things that are causing us, and so perhaps you need to talk to somebody that could maybe help you to dig out of your soul those things that are, because you don't know. But you don't just get depressed. Unless, I mean, that's a whole nother level. Our pastor can talk to you about that. There's a clinical thing that's a totally separate thing. But if it's coming from emotional or experiences, then yes, we do have to do those things that Minister Sam and Minister Dorothy mentioned, but they first have to be recognized. We have to know what we are putting a scripture to. So they first have to be revealed and exposed, and then we can do the things that they said.
And I'm glad she brought that up, because that's why I asked you the question that way. Is there something that triggers it? Yeah, go ahead. Hold on, behind you.
Oh. My bad. What if, like, okay, so I think a lot of it may have to be that I have been trying to conceive a child for a long time, but I have a unnormal problem with my uterus, many fibroids, and this will be my second surgery to come out of it, but I think sometimes that kind of, like, mash up the brain, because my sister just had her baby and I just want to be excited for her, but at the same time it just kind of like bring down the happiness of the energy that I have. And then usually around this time my grandmother passed me from the breast cancer, so every now and then that kind of lingers. And I listen to the gospel music throughout the day, but then if I have, like, I'm working at a hardware, so sometimes I can't, like, step away from all of their working in order to, like, okay, decompress with myself, talk to their Lord to make me feel better.
Let me ask real quick before we're going to address that right now. How many people in here would be honest enough to say that there's times you have bouts of depression? Yeah, I just want you, I knew that was coming. Okay, there it is. So do you mind if we just kind of stay on this topic for a little bit? Because I think this is rich and it's reaching everybody in the crowd. Who wants to go next, Joe? Go ahead.
There's a lot of things out there that gets in our ear gate. And one of the things that the Bible teaches that I've learned is, above all, guard my heart. Because out of it are the issues of life. So what does that mean? I guard my eye gate, what I watch, what I listen to, and the words that come out of my mouth. So what I try to do every day is meditate on what God has said, on his word day and night. He said, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. So I try to meditate on what he said, his promises to me, rather than listen to what the world has to say about things. He gave Abraham a promise. He said, you'll be the father of many nations. He hadn't had the first son yet, the first child. But he meditated on what God had said. Guess what he got? He got that child.
Also, the word tells us to think on those things that are true and pure and good, those things. And so when you're walking around in your daily work area, whatever, you know, the word tells us to also pray without ceasing. And you can literally do that, and you can resist the devil, because that's where a lot of it comes from sometimes, is from the spirit realm trying to bring you down and remind you of all these things that you can't have, baby, even when you're not aware of it. But think on those things. It says, how do you do that? You simply, if you've got these thoughts that are bringing you down, you simply think about something good.
That's right.
Think about something else.
Well, sometimes, sometimes it's not like a thought. It's like an overcoming feeling. Like, it's not, I don't even have to be thinking about something. I can be just finished talking to a customer, and then boom, it's like, I get a chills on me, and then it's just like.
Yeah. Let me step in here for just a minute. There's three things: suppression, oppression, and depression. They all mimic the same. Depression, that is, you have a clinical issue. You have, you know, tumor in brain, you have chemical imbalance, something severe. That's 1-5%. So we're going to push that away. Not saying you don't have it, let's push that away. Then there's something called suppression, which means to inhibit or stop an activity in the body. So you mentioned you had uterine problems. You could have a hormone imbalance, something as simple as that. Your diet could be sabotaging you. And your gut could be so messed up right now. And the neurochemicals that run your brain are made in your gut. So your gut could be causing things. Because you said it just comes upon you. It's not really a thought-based. Because if it's thought-based, we get into the oppression, which is to be weighed down with the cares of life, is literally what oppression means. So we're dealing a lot up here. They were telling you to deal with how to deal with the oppression, which are the spiritual things. And those have to be dealt with, even if you're dealing with the others. But I'm sensing, just listening to you, we got some issues here, okay? And we got some issues here. So you may be looking at some health challenges that are tied specifically to yours. I just wanted to go ahead and point that out to you, okay? Everything they said, still understand, everything starts in the spirit realm. And everything is faith. And the one thing I see coming against your faith is the fear. Like, you know, your word, you can't have this or you won't have that. See, the enemy will use fear against you. He'll use the challenges you're having in your life against, he'll use fear against you, okay? What they're teaching you is how to stay and ward the fear off. But now the physical things, when you're getting the chills and you're getting, see, those are physical issues. So you may need to seek some health care for that, okay? All right. I want to delve just a little bit in more into the who else would be willing to maybe mention some things they're dealing with on the depression? Thank you for that. Thank you.
Oh, you want me to stand up? I don't really need this. I'm an instructor. I'm used to yelling. So a lot of y'all know me. I started coming to this church. A little bit of my testimony before I get too much into it. I talked to a lot of y'all. So for me, I am currently heavily medicated due to the Army, after duty, medication after medication. It seems to help from time to time, but what I deal with a little bit of everything. Something that you said, Pastor, was that you keep your guard up. I keep my guard up so much, I tend to push people away. That's as bad as it's becoming for me. So I've lost 6 kids. I got an obituary binder of 138 individuals that I lost, to include my best friend, my grandfather, multiple deployments, friends downrange. And I just can't get the images of that trust out of my head. And I keep pushing other people away as well. Recently divorced. So it just seems like every time I maintain my faith, I just keep getting hit left and right. The only thing that keeps me going is my faith. But at the same time, I really don't know how to control it. Either I throw myself into work or I throw myself into my personal life to the point where nothing else around me matters, or I just can't think. I just go blank. So I don't really know how to deal with all that.
And just so you know, there's a lot more people exactly where you are. They're just not as vocal about it. And the truth is, they dress up real pretty and they walk in and out of here with smiles on their face, and then they go in their car and they fall apart. The only difference in you is you're just honest enough to say it. So thank you for doing that, because you're helping a lot of people by, we got to talk about this stuff, guys, or you're going to, we're going to walk around and live with it the rest of your life. This is what this is for, is interaction. So panel, I think you know right where this one is at. We got that one diagnosed. So now, let's minister to this young man, whoever you want to pass the mic, and he needs some really good, we've already talked about a few of the things you heard him talk about, but you have got things seared into your mind. And what happens is those thoughts create something called perseveration, which is a loop. And what it is it's unhealthy, and it keeps coming back, and it just runs, and you keep running these loops. And even when you're trying not to run them, you try to push them away, they're back there running like a screen. And you want to trust, and you want to check again, but it's almost like a voice that keeps talking to you, right? Correct. Yeah. So now, let's go, staff. Whoever wants to.
Okay, so I guess I'll go. So one thing that I have seen, and I raised my hand a while ago because I've, you know, have battled depressing thoughts. And one thing that I've noticed is, in my experience, I have a positive disposition to begin with. Okay, I can find the silver lining in anything. And so what my, if you could say, weakness, something that I have to deal with constantly is the enemy will, he will greet me with those thoughts at my most weakest, which is probably first when I wake up. And so when I don't start my day washing my mind with the water of the word, then that kind of cascades into, you know, other things throughout the day. And so while I have not lost anybody overseas, knock on wood, yet, you know, I have talked with a lot of people who are dealing with exactly the same thing that you and maybe others have dealt with in the sound of my voice. And the one thing that I always tell them and that I can say is that just like Doc said, those perseveration loops, you know, it strengthens the more that you allow it to cycle in your mind. And so the more that you allow, and that's, and it goes back to my experience, if I allow those thoughts to grow inside of my psyche, inside of my mind, then it strengthens those thoughts, which then turns around to drive my behavior. And so, you know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It really is. It's not like you think what, you know, I'm going to be a millionaire, so I'm a millionaire. No, it's like if I think about having a bad day because these thoughts have clouded my thinking, then I'm going to experience a bad day because I'm going to bring it about. And what I've learned in 15 years, and I'm so glad you talked about suppression, oppression, and depression, because the first year I was here in 2010, he taught that whole series. And it opened my eyes to how I see the world. And what I saw was that, and what I've learned over the years is that no matter what I experience, if I lose control of everything else around me, the only thing that I can control is my mind and my thoughts. And I've heard a sermon years ago by Kenneth Hagin, was Battlefield of the Mind, you know, and it really is. The enemy, he can't hurt us physically. He can't touch us spiritually. So he goes to the only place that he can get us, and that's in our mind. And he knows, because he observes us in the natural, he knows how to. In your case, it's what you're dealing with, what you've thankfully have revealed to us. And with me, it's something different because my experience is different than his. And so everybody in the room will probably, I mean, everybody has, it, like Doc said, it could be driven from your diet. It could be driven from your biochemical reactions in your body. But whatever it is, the enemy will find its way to affect your thinking, because if he can, he doesn't need us to be out of faith and off in sin. He just needs us to be ineffective by getting us to think a certain way.
So if you went around the room, you'd find that each person is dealing with some kind of trial. Some major, I got to say, what you're dealing with, that's a major trial. I deal with some things business-wise, financially, things are going on. But what I focus on is, coming to church Sunday and Wednesday night and getting some word, you know, that's critical. It's great. But with the amount of confusion that we're facing in this world today, we got to have the word daily. Joshua 1:8 says, you know, to meditate on the word night and day, and do not let it depart from your mouth, which means you need to be speaking it too. And you've heard our pastors preaching about speaking, you know, the word recently. So what I do to deal with these things in my life is, I'm kind of like, who was it, Pastor Sam talked about, I put my AirPods in my ear while I'm at work, and I listen to messages every day. I listen to Bishop's messages, Pastor Joe's messages over and over, because you don't get it all by hearing it one time. When you hear it again, you'll think, I didn't even hear him say that. I don't even remember it. And you listen to it a third time, you'll probably hear something you missed again, because our minds just wander. So throughout the week, I used to look at Facebook a lot. My tractor has GPS, so sometimes it's driving itself, and I just pick up my phone and look at, you know, Facebook. Well, I don't do that anymore. I cut that out because actually trials in my life got so hard that I had to focus hard. So I'm listening to the Word every single day, praying in the Spirit every day. When you first start praying in the Spirit, when you're born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't seem like it's doing anything, and your emotions aren't really telling you anything. But after you've done it a little while, the strength within your soul, it grows stronger and stronger. And now I can sense a weaker soul. You know, Bishop just talked about elevate your soul. I sense weakness when I stray away from that and I'm not listening daily. I get weaker. And then the fear gets stronger, because what you're dealing with is fear. And that's from the enemy. You know, that's the opposite of faith. So what I would encourage you to do, listen to the word daily. Listen to it taught daily. Study the word. Read the Bible for yourself. Pray, and pray in the Spirit daily.
So And I'll tell you this, and I'll speak from the military aspect and go from there, right? So I hear you say you had divorce and you lost a lot of people downrange and things like that. By a show of hands, there's probably several people in here that's been in military service, was Marine Corps, Air Force, Army. And just like Bishop says, so many people have been in a place that you are. But I will tell you one thing is, and everything they said is absolutely right, but it's a trust issue, just like I had. But Bishop taught a message back in 2014 and really broke it down when he told us, trust and have faith in God. That's right. Above all else. And so when we're looking at these things and we see these things that we lost, right? I lose a wife, I lose a friend, I lose a family member. We're talking about where's your faith and where does your trust lie? And that's what they're talking about in the washing of the water of the word. Because when you have those trust issues, you find yourself pushing everything out. But you can trust God above all else, even in the midst of anything. David said, even if I go to hell, you're still there with me. So now when you have those trust issues, especially when so many people, and trust me when I tell you, because I've dealt with this over the last couple of years, it's just when so many people are starting to leave, it seems like every time you turn around. I've lost more soldiers back here in the United States than I've lost in combat. And that's a hard thing to deal with. It is very hard. But there's a couple of things that why you are so important, why God keeps you on mission, and why the Great Commission is there. Because I had to ask myself, even after listening to Doc tell me to trust in God, have faith. And what is your faith? Which he just preached, a month and a half ago? When he was talking about Chaz? To have that faith in God well before you even going to need it, because it's going to walk you through to where you're going to be at. And honestly, eating of the word daily. Daily. Because you have to replace those vain imaginations with something that is going to edify you. Because that is the biggest thing that the enemy is battling you with, is that nobody is there for you. Because when I start coming to this church, and I'll tell everybody, I was the worst thing walking around, right? And divorce, been there. Losing soldiers, been there. Losing family members, been there. And I didn't trust anybody. And those that are on this panel that listened to me talk when I first got here, first thing I was thinking when I came in here, my wife walked all the way up to the second row, and I wanted to sit in the last row, was like, what is this man finna tell me now? What is he going to be able to tell me that's going to get me out of where I already am? And then upon line, and precept upon precept, we start walking, my wife and I, through what the word of God says about our life. And not taking, one, the behavior that the military tells you that you are this because you are this rank, or you are that because you do this, or because of your MOS, you're supposed to be that way. But to take what God says about me, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I can have all the things that I want in abundance in this life by following his word. And that's why they're telling you daily, you have to take the word into you, because you have to rewrite what the enemy is constantly coming out and telling you. And you have to be ready to, one, this is a big one for me, is because I'm still on assignment. And I got that when Joe Brown stood right here and taught it. You're still on assignment, because everybody I lost and everybody I come in contact, did I give them the word? And is the word hidden in my heart that I might not sin against it so that I could give it to somebody else? Because we spend so much time trying to figure out where we need help, instead of saying, listen, if we do what the word of God and we start kingdom, then God is already going to take care of us in the midst of that. Because as we are eating of the word to be able to deliver for somebody else, we're also being delivered ourselves by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Those are the things that you have to be able to start looking at yourself not as the world and as the army says you are, but what God says you are. That is what your mind should be focusing on.
That was rich. I just wanted to say that was very rich. Do you have a comment back there? Let's get him a mic, brother. That was great.
Thank you. My situation is a little different, Bishop. When you know I'm following the Lord, know I want to do all the things the Lord requires of me to do and help other people. And part two of your message last Sunday, the law of reciprocation, kind of hit home with me. Love helping people, doing things, but for me, when I have these health issues, you know, I don't know quite what God is doing, because some days I feel good, I want to do what I need to do, but I can't get up. I'm dizzy and my body's not moving like I want to. I'm trying to understand what's the purpose. What is God trying to show me as it relate to my walk and how I'm feeling in my body?
Wow. I'm going to, before I even open this up to the panel, if I take a Wednesday night and I teach y'all how to take care of yourself, and I'm going to teach you why you're feeling all these symptoms, why you're having problems in your body. I've been doing it 34 years. And I minister around this, around the world about this, something I know a little bit about. How many people would want to come? I think we're due. Because you have to be able to draw a fine line between the physical and the supernatural. I used to tell Pastor David when he was here before, he would, you know, because he was a strong man of faith. Wow, I learned more probably about faith from him than I have any other person on this planet. But I was able to also impart a few things to him, and one of them was how to draw that line. It's like this is an example I use with him, and he used to use it out of the pulpit after that. I'd say, you know, Pastor David, if I have a splinter, I'm not saying you can't pray that splinter out of there. But I think God gives us wisdom to take tweezers and pull that thing out. And it's a whole lot easier just to go ahead and do something in the natural to pull that out instead of trying to have faith for that splinter to fall out. Amen? And I'm telling you, just from what you told me, and I think in about 2 minutes, I could remediate your issue. Yeah, you've got orthostatic postural hypotension. It's so simple. Very easy to fix. Okay? So something like that. So we'll go through that. You see me after church, and I'll tell you you won't have to deal with that anymore. So simple stuff like that. But we'll go through, and I'm going to break it down, and we'll just go piece by piece. And at the end, I'll stand and answer every question for everybody in this church. I don't care how many people are in here. Okay? I'll go ahead and make that commitment to you now. Okay. Now, are there spiritual things we need to do? You better believe it. And we're going to talk about those right now.
I just wanted to say that we moved 3 weeks ago from Montana back home. I call this home because we were here before. I've been there, and I'm there right now. But thank God these people up here are helping me out.
There it is. There it is. Now we're going to open this back up. This is the same thing. This is just another version. We're still talking about depression. But at the same time, what do you do when you're having these health issues? Because nothing will depress you more than when I'm confessing the word over my body. I feel like I'm doing everything right, and I'm still feeling symptoms. Right? How many people been there? How many there right now? You know? Okay. All right. So what do we do? Help me, staff.
One thing that you all are doing tonight that perhaps you have not done, and that's all of you, the scripture does tell us to confess our faults one to another, that we might be what? Healed. So a lot of times what the enemy will do is he will draw you into isolation. Because he knows if you come out of isolation, that's where your healing is.
That's right.
So you find someone, one, two people, that have some fruit in their life.
Exactly.
Okay? and you confess, as you have done tonight, the things that you're dealing with, so that on the days that you cannot, for whatever reason, quote a scripture, you're too weak to do it, then you can call that person. This, it's there for a reason. He said, so that you may be healed.
That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm. What I'm hearing, I want to come back to you. Sound like to me the enemy has came in and stolen your peace. Mm-hmm. But the word says he will keep you in perfect peace whose eyes is stayed on him. And I'm looking at the body of Christ, which is what she was relating to. So we fellowship one with another and try to help each other out.
That's right.
That's what we're here for, to help you. But it's in him we find our being. It's who we are. It's in him. So he has to be number one in our lives. And God can't lie. Don't believe the lie that the enemy puts out there. And he throws them out and he tries to use different ones to get in our ear gate. That's why I said earlier, guard your heart, guard your ear gate, what you're listening to. And you have to be careful, people that you listen to, because there's a lot of people out there on assignment by the enemy to try to steal your peace.
The scripture also tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves, even more so as the day of the Lord approaches, which I'm not into saying when he's coming, but he's coming back.
Yes, he is.
And so this is not the time for us to be forsaking the assembling of ourselves, because this is where your healing is.
I think the number one thing that has to happen, you have to decide whose report you're going to believe. Because you can hear the word all day and all night. Satan knows the word, but he doesn't apply any of it, and he does not believe it. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what it's talking about, it'll divide those things that are not truth so that you can lay hold of the word. Now, scripture says that we are in these bodies, but we don't fight after these bodies. But it says a weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which implies that we got to have some knowledge. We got to get some knowledge. And then once we get that knowledge, we got to believe the knowledge that we're getting. In fact, I had a little sickness recently, and I had to actually decide to believe God's word that I was confessing. He sent his word, and it healed me and delivered me from my destruction over the pain I was having in my body and all the symptoms that looked like something that was serious. And I'm here to tell you, Angela can tell you, I came through it, and my body was healed, and I know I had a sickness, but the sickness was healed. You have to decide once and for all whose report you're going to believe. And then once you do that, your heart is a collector. Your head is all over the place. In Mark 9:23, the guy said, Lord, I believe, but help thine mind unbelief. He was mixed up. His head was crazy, but he had faith in his heart. So faith doesn't start here. Faith comes here. But you've got to renew your mind daily as you sacrifice and lift your body up to the Lord and your mind to the Lord. And when you're lifting it up, you're making a sacrifice. That sacrifice is, I'm not going to believe what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking. I'm going to replace those thoughts with the word. And I'm going to believe and lay hold on the word of God. You have to do it. Your strength is in the word.
To both the young lady here, Indigo, and the young man here, my transparency is just know this. There is a time that we have, I speak for me, that I could not pray. Preacher's wife, evangelist, all of it. Been saved since I was 17, filled with the Holy Spirit. Been on platforms for years. Led many to the Lord. But life, sweetheart, life hit. And at that moment, I know I yet love God. I knew he was faithful, but life just like took the gut, just the breath out of me. And the enemy meant to destroy me, to kill my seed and my witness. So face down, just crying out, help me God, send me somebody. Because pouring out all the time, you know, giving and serving, sometimes you just have done and poured out of empty. But God heard my cry. He's faithful to hear the cry of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. He's faithful. He's going to do it. So what came to my mind when I heard both of you as I was sitting here, that sometimes is that you can't pray for yourself in that time, but don't try to do it alone. So I had to put pride aside for my titles, the clothes and the suits and the Sunday attire and all that. And I had to get real raw. It got ugly. Life was real hard. And I remember a conversation, someone, I fell on somebody's heart. And that's what I have been praying for. Because many times people see you, but they don't see you. They have no idea. But the Holy Ghost, he does. And he called somebody to see me who I hadn't even seen me physically. He put me on their heart. Thought they were calling me for one thing, or I was calling them about some tablecloths to decorate. And then she said, I'm glad you called, girl, because we were just praying about your name. We were just praying about you. Because you fell on our mind. We want you to come and speak. I say, I can't come and speak. You have no idea where I am in life. She says, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. We went back and forth. But God heard my prayer and put me on somebody's mind. And then I came. I remember the story in the gospel. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke. The friends picked him up. The friends picked him up, and they carried him up, tore the roof off. Don't try to do it alone. Fine, believe me, help is in the house. Yeah. Amen. Learn to trust, because that's what the enemy had. So when she was on my isolation, guess what? It was her. Who I hadn't talked to in about 7 years, the Lord put me on her mind. And then God used Pastor Roslyn. She's Roslyn to me. And she wouldn't let me go. She wouldn't let me stay in that rut. She aggravated me so badly, but I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world, because God restored my joy, my strength, my peace, my life, my healing. 20-some years of being sick and didn't know why I was sick. He knows about that. 20-some years of being sick. She knows about it because she was my principal. Who starts school the first day of school and calls in sick? Because I've been there, and then next thing I know, I got something on me. I wasn't sick physically all the time. There was so much other stuff going on. But I'm delivered now. I'm delivered now. I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I confess it. I speak it when I don't feel it. Let me just get, can I be wrong?
Get it.
I keep speaking it even though my husband, the preacher, pastor, left me. My daddy died on his birthday, who wasn't even sick, fell sick out of the blue. We didn't even know. The Holy Ghost said, pray on March the 6th, 2023. My son said, Mama, did he tell you the time? I said, he said 6 p.m. You what? I said, I don't know. Holy Ghost said, pray. Call the family and pray. My daddy got sick on that night. We got through praying. I get down there, and my dad is on the floor. This is a man who praises God, sing, love Jesus. Just so, baby, hear me when I say, I have been like the poster child for family.
You met me, you had already met my husband and my two sons and my mom and daddy, and the enemy came in like a flood. You name it, it happened. My sister died, my daddy died. You name it, it happened. But God restored me by getting connected. While I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God restored me. So guess what I walk in now? What God is doing for me. I ain't selfish about it. But I stay focused on Linda Faith Simpkin Boykin now. All my losses are still real, baby. The hurt is still real. But I stay focused on him and what him and him I live, move, and have my being. I am his righteous one. I am his daughter. I am what he say I am. And I have to make a decision every morning. Every morning.
Guys, I'm going to do exactly what I promised. We said we was going to do a power hour. And we've had our hour. So if everybody will stand to your feet for just a minute. Now, we're not done. But I want you to stand to your feet. And here's how I feel we need to end this tonight. I'm going to keep my promise of those of you who need to go, we're going to let you go. And I'm going to ask you when you go, we're going to ask you, please don't leave, make your kids. We don't want them walking across the parking lot from the youth. It's not safe. It's getting dark now. You know, weather's bad as well. So whenever you do, will you please pick up the young folk over at their building? If you will, okay? We don't really want them walking over. We just don't think that's a good idea. And it's against our protocol because we're looking out after your kids, okay? Now, for the rest of you, I noticed when I asked how many of you are suffering with depression, man, hands were up all over. Now, it'd be a shame to have this much anointing. Did y'all feel the anointing in this place? I mean, I just felt to go to another level. Thank you, Linda, for sharing for that, for being honest. You know, sometimes just people being able to give their testimony and share like that, it just breaks things off of people. So why come this far not to go ahead and just go ahead and get it stripped off? So what I'm going to do is this panel, why don't you guys come on down here and stand here in the front. And as we dismiss, anyone that wants, we're going to have oil down here. And if you're tired of this depression and this suppression, this oppression, and this feeling that the heaviness, the spirit of heaviness has been upon you, why don't you come down here and get anointed by these elders and these ministers, and let's get this dealt with. For the rest of you, you're welcome to go. We'll see you on Sunday morning. God bless you. We love you. But for the rest of you that need the healing, we're going to stay here as long as you need us, okay? God bless you, everybody. We love you.